Is worshiping God in the church assembly really something special? Is it really something different from everyday life? Is it really a sanctified activity that God wants His people to engage in? Or is it no different from what we do in ordinary life? Well, we have an example in Acts chapter 8 of a man who worshiped God. And the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 8 about the Ethiopian eunuch. We're going to begin reading in verse 26. The famous story of the Ethiopian eunuch is not only a story about conversion, it's a story that illustrates the nature of public worship. So let's begin in verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet, that is, Isaiah the prophet. Now, did you notice what the Bible says in verse 27 about him going to Jerusalem? He went to Jerusalem for what reason? Why did he make that journey to Jerusalem? The Bible says that he came to Jerusalem to worship. Now, that means that the act of worship in Jerusalem was different from what he was doing in ordinary life. If he was already worshiping God at home, then why did he make that journey? If he was worshiping God all the way down there, then why did he even go to Jerusalem? Well, you see, what we find here is that this is a good example of where the Bible shows us that there is a sense of the word worship that refers to a collective assembly where people come together in a public setting to worship God. Now, I realize that a person can have his private devotions. We all need to do that. We all need to read the Bible on our own. We all need to study and meditate upon God's Word as much as we can in our private lives. We need to say as many prayers individually as we can, and we need to have that special time as Christians alone with God. But the Bible also shows that we are to worship Him in the public worship assembly in the local church. And the Bible also shows that what we do in that public assembly that is called worship is distinct from what we do in everyday life. So we talked about what the eunuch was doing before he got to Jerusalem to worship God. Now let's look at what the Bible says in verse 28 about what he was doing afterward. You see, the Bible says in verse 28 that he was reading his Bible. But that is not worship in the sense that verse 27 is talking about. Now, the Bible doesn't really put a word on that. If a person wants to call that his private devotion, if a person wants to say that that was worship, then that's a matter that I'm not going to really dispute. But what I do want to notice here is that the word worship is applied to a public, a special thing in verse 27. When the eunuch went to the temple, that is what is referred to as worship here. And so what I'm saying is that his worship was something that was special. It was something that God wanted in a special way. And this eunuch offered that worship to God. Now, the reason that I'm talking about this is because there are people today who don't think that worship is really a special activity. They don't think that worship is any different from ordinary life. And so they don't see any difference between a man, let's say, in a field, and he says a prayer to God. They don't see any difference between that kind of activity and a man assembling on the first day of the week with Christian people and worshiping God by partaking of the Lord's Supper, by giving of His means, by praying and singing, and by hearing the Word of God preached. They say that there's no difference and that one is just as good as the other. But you also find that there are people today who say that there's no difference between everyday life and ordinary activities and what you do in worship, and they take it so far as to say that anything that you can do in ordinary life, you can do in worship. Any activity that you can engage in your everyday life, something that is right in itself now, is acceptable to God as a form of worship. So sometimes they will say it like this, that really everything that you do in life is worship anyway, so it doesn't make any difference what you do and call it worship in a public setting. So these are people who say, well, you don't really have to have a song. You don't really have to pray. You don't really have to have the Lord's Supper or preaching or giving the things that are talked about in the Bible. Why, you can do all kinds of things, and that's worship to God, because there's nothing wrong with it. And this is why there are churches today who come together on Sunday and they just watch a movie. Or they have some weightlifters in, and those weightlifters perform. Or they get together and they engage in some kind of craft. And they say, well, you know, there's no difference between what we're doing outside of worship and inside of worship. It's all the same. And it is not. They have the idea that everything that you do in life is worship in the sense that I'm talking about. Now, if a person wants to say that your life in general is to be lived to the glory of God, and in that sense your life is worship, well, because the word worship in the King James Version in Luke 14, verse 10, is used in the sense, the general idea of glory, then I can't object to that kind of statement. But to totally erase the difference between public worship to God that God has prescribed in His Word and say that there's no difference between ordinary life and worship, and to say anything that we can do in ordinary life we can do in worship, folks, that will not follow. Because the Bible plainly tells us here that the Ethiopian eunuch came to worship at Jerusalem. Now again, if he was already worshiping God by doing anything in life before he got there, then why does it say that he came to worship? And if he was worshiping God as he was going home, then why does it say that he went there to worship to begin with? You see, the whole idea that I'm talking about is the thinking that, well, I just don't have to go to church anyway. And if I go to church, I don't have to do the things that the Bible says, because after all, if I can do it outside of that setting, then I can do it inside of that setting. There's no really set required way to worship God, because after all, everything that we do is a form of worship to God. Now think about that kind of idea for just a minute. Does a person really believe that if he's outside washing a car, that he's worshiping God in the sense of worship that we're talking about? If a man is outside and he's hauling hay, does he really believe that he's worshiping God in the sense that we're talking about? Do people really believe that they can do those things and just ignore the public worship assembly, that that's just as good as the prescribed way that God has told us to worship on the first day of the week? Well, if anybody thinks that, then they're not really paying attention to the Bible, because God has set aside this time for us to come together, and He has set aside these acts that we've talked about, praying, singing, giving, partaking of the Lord's Supper, and having the preaching of His Word. God wants His people to be in church to engage in those activities no more and no less on the first day of the week. And if we start changing that, if we start saying, well, we don't really have to do it that way, why can't we just take something that we do in everyday life and use it in worship and call it worship? It's because God has sanctified the time, and God has sanctified that period and the acts in which we are to worship God. Now, if you go back to the Old Testament, there are so many illustrations of what we're talking about. You know, the Bible says in Romans 15, verse 4, that the things that were written beforehand, that is, in the Old Testament, were written for our learning. And so when we look at these examples in the Old Testament, we find that God set apart certain things for certain reasons, especially for the Jewish people. Now, for instance, now these again are illustrations. I'm not trying to say that these are binding today, but they do make the point. The Bible tells us that God set aside one certain day for the Jewish people, called the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So there were 7 days in the week, and God said, I want you to set apart this one day. And on this one day, I don't want you to do any work. This is a special time. This is a sanctified day. called the Sabbath. Another example is the temple. Now, in the temple, you had the holy place, and then behind it, in the back of the temple, you had the most holy place, or the Holy of Holies. Now, who was the one person who could enter into the Holy of Holies? Who was the one man in Israel that could go into the most holy place? Well, that was the high priest, and he could only do that on the Day of Atonement, that one time during the year. So the Bible tells us then that this was a special place. It was a sanctified place. If some Jew had come along and said, well, I don't see any difference between that building and my home. If somebody said, well, whatever I can do in my home, I can do at the temple, he would have sinned against God and he may have lost his life. But you see, that's the same kind of reasoning that people are using with worship. I'm not talking about the church building. I'm talking about what we do when we assemble together. These people were told that there were certain things that you only did and only engaged in certain settings and sometimes in certain places. Now, for instance, in the Old Testament, you had the priest. The priest had to come from the tribe of Levi. So there were 12 tribes of Israel, and God selected one tribe for the priest to come through. The other tribes could not stand back and say, well, I don't see any difference between somebody that's from the tribe of Levi and somebody that's from the tribe of Judah or from the tribe of Benjamin. We're all Jews, aren't we? We're all Israelites. So what difference does it make? It made all the difference in the world because God specially chose that one tribe for the priest to come through. So in the Old Testament, you have all kinds of situations like this. You have, even before the law of Moses was given, God telling Noah to make the ark out of gopher wood. God selected one kind of wood for the ark to be built out of. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 17, God chose a rod, Moses' rod, whereby he would perform these miracles. So he set aside that rod in a special way. We say that these things were sanctified by God. They were set apart for special use. And that same thing is true with worship today. Yes, there is a difference between what we do in ordinary life and what we do in worship. And we cannot say that it's right to substitute whatever we're doing in ordinary life, even if it's private devotions, and say, well, I don't need to go to church because I kind of have my own church on my own in my own private life by reading my Bible, studying the Bible, by praying to God, and maybe doing good to other people. God said there's a special situation that I want you to be in. And this also shows that the thinking that many people have today, that just because something is right in ordinary life, you can make it a part of worship, is wrong. And we learned in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that the Corinthians thought that just because they could eat their own ordinary meals, their own everyday suppers outside of worship, that they could bring those into worship and make that a part of the worship of God. Paul told them that they were wrong. Paul told them that they were not to eat that ordinary meal in the worship, which means that just because a thing is right in everyday life does not mean that you can make it a part of worshiping God in the church worship assembly. That assembly is a special setting with a special frame of mind and special activities authorized in the New Testament.